I've told my wife tonight, she came in, I said, I'm on my third message, and I meant since y'all been here tonight, or this morning, I had what I was pretty much going to preach tonight, and man, God began to direct, and he was directing me the passage, but not for the reason that I thought he was, but jumped down in verse number 5, and I figured out what it was that he was directing me over here for, and something jumped off the page at me, and so the help of God, I want to preach on that tonight. We'll just look at that one verse as we get started in Psalm 61 and verse number 5. Pray for me. This sinus stuff's killing me. It's choking me to death, but with God's help, we get through it. And verse number 5, Psalms chapter 61. You there tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
The Bible says, "For thou, O God, has heard my vows." Now, I want you to notice this next phrase right here. "Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you that you love us. And you do indeed love us like we were your only child. We're so grateful for that. We don't deserve it. We've done nothing to earn it. But Father, you love us anyway. You tell us that while we were yet sinners, that you commended your love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Don't understand that, but Lord, we accept it and we're thankful for it. Pray tonight, God, you'd help us. I pray that you'd bind the powers of Satan. I pray tonight, God, that you'd give me the words to speak with my stammering lips of clay. I pray, God, that you would do a work in our hearts tonight through this message. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach tonight on this thought: I have a goodly heritage. I have a goodly heritage. Back in that verse number 5, in that phrase, he says, "Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name." We often talk about having, as Christians, as a goodly heritage. We often talk about having something and being blessed to have something that this world does not have, benefits that this world does not have, blessings that this world does not have. And we often talk about the fact that we have a goodly heritage. We sing about it, we shout about it, and we rejoice in it. Understanding what we have in our heritage is a very important thing. Even Karl Marx, the father of modern communism, said this. He said, "A people without a heritage are easily persuaded." A people without a heritage are easily persuaded. And so sometimes what we need to do, friend, is we need to go back down memory's lane. We need to take a look again in the Word of God and look at the unmatched heritage that's been given to the people of God. So tonight I want to ask the question, so what is the heritage of those that fear God's name? He said, the psalmist said, "I've been given a heritage, the same heritage of the ones that fear your name." Of course, he's talking about those that have been saved, and he said, "I've been given that same heritage." So what is that heritage? I want to say, first of all, tonight, it's a position. It's a position. In John chapter 1, verse number 12 and 13, the Bible says this, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power," watch this, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." What I've got in my heritage, I have a position. It goes on in the next verse, verse 13, he says, "Which were born of not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Do you understand tonight that I am a child of God and you are a child of God? I have a position tonight. I have a heritage. It says we've been born not of the will of flesh nor the will of man, but of God. He tells us here that we have the power to become the sons of God. Do you understand tonight that you and I, because of our heritage, we are blessed to have a position? What is it? God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my Comforter. And you and I tonight have a position. Jesus said it this way, "You're in my hand, and I'm in the Father's hand, and no man can put," well, glory, "no man can put me out of my Father's hand, because I and my Father are one." Do you understand tonight, child of God, that you have a goodly heritage, and it involves, first of all, a position? And boy, we sung about it earlier, and they just sung about the fact that he loves me like I was his own only child, and I'm glad tonight that he does, because I have a position, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given you and I that wonderful position in him. Maybe tonight you weren't very proud of to be the child of your earthly father. Maybe it wasn't a great thing or a grand thing for you. Maybe your father was not a very nice man or a very noble man or a very kind man. Well, honey, tonight I got some good news for you. The day you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you become a child of God. You became a child of the King. Royal blood flows through your veins. Now I'm adopted and I am his child. We have a position. It's our heritage. It's part of what makes us who we are. It's part of what the Lord has given us in our heritage. We have a new name. We have a position. And we need to never forget that we're children of the Most High God. He's already given me. The Bible says this. Says he seated me in heavenly places. I'm already there, seated, present tense now, in heavenly places. And the Bible says he's given me the earnest of the Spirit. Somebody in here ought to know what earnest means. It is somewhat of a down payment, but even better. And listen, guess what? Tonight, I have the earnestness of the Spirit of God living within me. And you know what it is? It's a down payment to the fact I'm already his child. And one day, I'm going to see him face to face. We have a position. John said it this way in 1 John chapter number 3. But now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Why are we going to be like him? Because I'm his child. I'm a child of God. First of all, we have a position. I read an illustration I want to read to you tonight. While walking through the forest one day, a man found a young eagle who had been had fallen out of its nest. The man took the eagle and put it in his barnyard, where it learned to behave like the chickens that were there in the barnyard. One day, so a naturalist, you know, one of these earthly people passed by on the farm and asked why it was that the king of all the birds should be confined to live in the barnyard with the chickens. The farmer replied. He said that since he had given it chicken feed and trained it to be a chicken, it never learned to fly. And since it now behaved like chickens, it was no longer an eagle. Still, it has the heart of an eagle, said the naturalist. It's still got the heart of an eagle down inside. It's still what it is, and surely it can be taught to fly. He lifted the eagle toward the sky and said, "You belong to the sky, not to the earth. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle, however, was confused and didn't know what to do. He didn't know who he was. And seeing the chickens eating their food, he jumped down to be with the chickens again. The naturalist took the bird to the roof of the house and urged him again, saying, "You're an eagle. Stretch forth your wings and fly." But the eagle was afraid of his unknown self and the world and jumped down once more for the chicken food. Finally, the naturalist took the eagle out of the barnyard to a high mountain. Then he held the king of the birds high above him and encouraged him, saying, "You are an eagle. You belong to the sky. Stretch forth your wings and fly." The eagle looked around, looked back towards the barnyard, and looked up to the sky. Then the naturalist lifted him straight towards the sun, and it happened that the eagle began to tremble. And slowly that eagle began to stretch its wings and with a triumphant cry soared away into the heavens. And the man said this. He said, "It may be that the eagle still remembers the chickens. It may even be that he occasionally revisits the barnyard. But as far as anyone knows, he's never returned to lead the life of a chicken." God help you and I as children of God. God help you and I who've been given a position to never forget where he's brought us from and never forget where he's took us to. We have a position in Christ Jesus. Praise God, we don't have to feast anymore. That bird was eating that chicken food. And you and I, listen, we don't have to feast anymore on the junk of this world. But you and I get to feast all the time as much as we want to on Jesus, who's from another world. We can slide up to his table anytime. You know why? We have a position. You know, and there's times that other people eat at our table. Most of the time, you know who it is? Our family. Our family. And they belong there. They always got a place there. Why? Because they're family. First of all, what is the heritage of those that fear God's name? A position. Notice secondly, another thing involved in our heritage is a place. Oh, we've been given a promise over in John chapter number 14. Jesus said this. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Do you realize tonight, child of God, do you realize tonight that your heritage involves a place? It's a place much better than anything this world can offer. It's a home much better than any of the greatest home on this earth, the wonderful place called heaven. He said, "I go to prepare a place." We not only have a position, but our heritage involves a place. I want you to go with me quickly to Revelation chapter number 22. We'll see a little bit about this place, what a wonderful place it is. You know what I'm glad about tonight? I'm glad that this world's not my home. I'm glad tonight, listen, that this is not all there is to my life in Christ Jesus, but thank God it gets better farther on. Look what the Bible says here about this place. First of all, notice with me in verse number 1 of chapter number 22. It's a place, first of all, watch this, with no water bill. It's a place. Somebody ought to be glad about that. You got holes there, pal. It's a place tonight with no water bill. Look at verse number 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." I'm glad tonight. Listen, we get there. And even this, you know what I found out not long ago? Even the bottled water, they say the chemicals in the bottle even sometimes bleed over into the water. And it's not even as pure, even though it's called purified water. But thank God there is a river. There is a place where a river of life flows freely and it doesn't cost you a dime. No water bill. The place. You know what else I'm glad about? It's a place with no light bill. Chapter number 22, verse 5. "And there shall be no night there." I'm about to run. "And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Aren't you glad tonight that the one who first said he was the light of the world, then he said, "Ye are the light of the world." Thank God there's a place that you and I have prepared for us, the place called glory, the place called heaven, and there's no need of light, and there's no need of light bills, because the Lord himself giveth light. The place. Oh, not only that, it's a place, watch this, with never-ending fresh fruit. Look at verse number 2. "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits." Hey, you know what that is? That's a different kind for every month. For those of you who can't be satisfied with one, look here. Every 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the curse of the nations. The place. A place with no water bills. A place with no light bills. A place with fresh fruit. It's a place in a city, with a city that's new. Look at chapter 21 and verse number 5. It says here, "And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. He said to me, Write, for these words are faithful and true." And we know the Bible tells us that that city of God comes down, that new Jerusalem comes down. It's a place, listen, where there's a loose, you know what? I like Knoxville, but you remember back in the World's Fair time, there was that big controversy because they called Knoxville the scruffy little place on the map and all that. And I like Knoxville, but honestly speaking, there's some places in Knoxville I don't want to go because it's kind of dirty. But thank God, listen, there's a place that the Bible tells us it's a place that's better than you and I could ever imagine. A city that's new. Everything there's new. It's not the old stuff. Not only that, it's a place with streets. Pure gold. Pure gold. Chapter 21, verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the streets of the city was pure gold. As it were, think about this, as it were transparent glass. Transparent glass, so pure, so bright that it looked transparent as if you could see through it as a mirror. So many things. Look with me here. It's a place with only noble people. The Bible tells us there that it's a place with all the whoremongers, the idolaters, and all those people said they'll have no part in heaven, and said they can't enter into heaven. But it's a place with only those who have the same heritage that you and I have. Oh, it's a wonderful place that He's prepared for you and I. Do you understand tonight? Listen, hey, in this place, with all this going on and how a heart breaks for so many people tonight that are sick and laid up with some kind of a physical ailment in their body, but thank God, this is a place where there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more dying. Thank God there'll be no more cancer. There'll be no more kidney stones, brother. All that'll be gone, and it'll be passed away, and it'll be glory for me and glory for you. What a wonderful place. Our heritage, it involves a position. It involves a place. Notice thirdly, the heritage of those that fear God not only involves a position and a place, but it involves profit. It involves a profit. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered in to the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Can I just tell you this? There's nothing that anybody could ever give you or offer you that's as good as what God already has for you. God, help us not to squander our heritage for the trinkets of this world. There's nothing that anybody could ever give to you that God is any better than what He already has for you. Listen, the devil offers his trinkets and he offers his treasure, but think about what the Bible says about him. It tells us there when he came to tempt the Lord Jesus, he showed Jesus, the Bible says, there he comes to him in the wilderness, and he come to him and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, watch this, in a moment of time. And he said, all this can be yours if you'll bow down and worship him. But you know what I'm glad about tonight? While the devil can show you every single thing, what a glory that he has to offer in a moment of time. It's going to take God an eternity to show you everything he already has for you because of your heritage in Christ Jesus. He can show you everything he has to offer in a moment of time. But it'll take an eternity for God to show you what you've gained in him. Because there's a great reward in being a child of God. There's a great reward having that heritage. Colossians 3:23 says this, and whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Listen to this. For you serve the Lord Christ. Knowing that of, is he faithful or is he not faithful? The Bible says that of knowing of the Lord, we're going to receive the reward of our inheritance. Our goodly heritage gives us profit. Can I just say tonight, you and I, something, listen, we mourn and we moan about what we lost in Adam. And we think about, man, that fall and the curse and everything that happened. But can I just say this tonight? Listen, we gained a whole lot more in Christ than we ever lost in Adam. But what we lost in him, yes, was innocence. But guess what? What we gained in Jesus was righteousness. Adam wasn't saved. Adam couldn't go to heaven and love himself. But Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. I gained more in Christ than I ever lost in Adam. Not only a position. I'm talking about our heritage. He said that we have a heritage, and he said that he's given to us. The psalmist said he's given to me the heritage of those, the same one that he gives to those that fear his name. Not only a position, not only a place, not only a prophet. Don't you think, don't miss this. Think tonight about what we really have in prayer. Think about what we really have in prayer. James 5, 16 through 18 says this. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen to this. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. You know something we gained in our heritage? Prayer. The fact that we're going to have prayer that's answered. As a child of God, you and I have a promise and an assurance that if we go to our Heavenly Father about anything, he will answer us. For he's told us in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Do you have any idea of the magnitude that you, of the resource alone that you and I have in that one resource alone, that thing called prayer? Do you have any idea of the value of that one benefit alone? Just think tonight of the power and the potential for prayer. Think about what we just read, that listen, the rain stopped for 3.5 months of the days. The rain stopped and then the rain started again. Prayer has changed the heart of kings. Prayer has literally stopped time. And you and I can go to our Heavenly Father anytime and anywhere in this thing called prayer, and he'll answer us. Thank God for an heritage that includes prayer. We have a heritage. And God says, if you call me, I'll answer you. He tells us, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And you and I are encouraged to pray. It's part of our heritage. Can I tell you this? God is not obligated to hear one single prayer uttered by someone who's lost, except the salvation's prayer, except the prayer of faith, saving faith. He promised he'd hear that. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But outside of that, God is not obligated. But can I tell you this? What he said to the child of God, somebody tonight needs to help me. What he said to the child of God is, he said, if you call me, then I'll answer. And you have a promise and you have an assurance that we have a God that's faithful that says, I'll answer your prayer simply because you're my child. Simply because you have a heritage. Not only all those wonderful things, I want you to notice also, comes with our heritage. Peace. Peace. There's two ways. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. Watch this. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand tonight we were enemies? The Bible says that, listen, before we were saved, that we were enemies. There was enmity between us and God. God, in other words, God had something against us. You know what it was? Our sin. And so we were enemies to God. And the Bible says that our sin had separated us from a holy God. And I couldn't come to God or get to God because of my sin. But the Bible tells me that through him, and because we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ, that we have the peace with God. That's a wonderful thing tonight to know that we have peace with God, that there's no more strife, there's no more struggle, there's no, you think about this, that strife, you're going to lose that battle, you're fighting against God. And thank God tonight that strife is gone, there's peace with God. But it gets even better than that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Watch this. We talked about having peace with God, but watch this. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Not only do we have peace with God, but listen tonight, you and I who are children of God, you and I that have that heritage, we also have the peace of God. And can I just tell you, that's something that money can't buy. Can I just tell you tonight, that's something that you can't borrow. That's something that the things of this world can't bring. Listen, they can't ever bring peace, because peace is only found when you make peace with the Prince of Peace, and then you have the peace that passes all understanding. Part of your heritage, peace. Friend, it don't get any better than that. I don't care what you may have in this world. I don't care what your family may own. I don't care what kind of great legacy or heritage that they may have as far as the things of this world goes. But listen, can I say tonight, there's no heritage. There's only one heritage that can offer the peace, and that's the heritage of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's being a child of God. That's being bought and born into the family of God. And it's a heritage. It comes with a peace that's beyond all understanding. Can't even understand it. Tonight, when you think about all the information, you think about all the things that come our way and hit us from time to time, and still we can have peace. When we get the bad news at the doctor, we still have the peace that passes all understanding. Listen, when things go wrong, and as the problems that we have, and we're going to have those problems, the Bible tells us that those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecutions. But you know what? Thank God, in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all the storms, in the midst of all the troubles, in the midst of all the heartache, in the midst of all the pain, there can be a peace that passes all understanding, because our heritage. Our heritage gives us peace. The heritage of those that fear God. Not only that, but our heritage gives us power. Do you understand what we have in Christ Jesus? Do you understand tonight just a little bit about our heritage? Do you understand what it includes? It includes power. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:16 that he would grant you, I love this verse, that he would grant you, Paul's praying there, for this church of Ephesus, and he's in bonds while he's praying, but he says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Listen to what he's praying for. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. In the inner man. Praying that he'd be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man. You know what I'm glad about tonight? I'm glad tonight, listen, that I have a power living inside me. I'm glad greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm glad tonight when I can't, he can. Praise God. Listen, my Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You know what else it goes on to say? According to the power which worketh in us, that power is Christ Jesus. Christ liveth in me. Aren't you glad tonight that we have a power? Part of our heritage. It's part of our heritage. Can I tell you this? I can do nothing without him. But there's nothing I can't do with him and with his power. we have His power. The next time we think something's too hard, we just need to remember our heritage. We need to remember, praise God, that our Father owns it all. We need to remember that our Father is King of Kings. We need to remember that our Father is the Prince of Peace. We need to remember that our Father owns a cattle 1,000 hills. We need to remember He's the great physician. We need to remember that He's our all in all, and there's nothing too hard for God. And He lives in me. He lives in you if you're saved. Acts 1:8. Very familiar verse. Jesus speaking to His disciples. He says, but ye shall receive power. When's that power going to come? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, there's power from Christ when you're in Christ. But can I go on just a minute? He said, the reason I'm giving you that power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And can I tell you tonight, listen, friend, there's nobody here that can, well, everybody's got different aptitudes and attitudes, and everybody's got different demeanors, and I understand all that. Everybody is a little different, but the fact of the matter is, if you're a child of God tonight, you might be shy, you might not talk a lot, and you may not be as far as an outgoing type person, but can I just say tonight, if you have Christ living in you, and you have the power of God, he said, you're going to receive some power. You're going to get something from me. It's part, glory, it's part of your heritage. It's part of what comes with the package. And He said, when you receive that power, you shall be witnesses unto me. Every single person in here can be a witness. Know why? Because we have His power. It's part of our heritage. It's part of who we are in Christ Jesus. Not only does it involve great power, but notice lastly, our heritage, it involves protection. Go back to our initial passage, Psalms chapter 61. And I'm telling you something, there's preaching in every single verse of Psalms 61. Psalm 61. Man, this is good. Verse number 3. What comes along with our heritage? Protection. He says in verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. You want to know something I'm glad about tonight? He said you're a shelter. If you back up, you know what he says in verse number 2? He says, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. You know what he's talking about there? He needs something to shade him. He needs something to protect him. And he goes on and says, you've been a shelter for me. And what I'm glad about tonight, when every single thing seems to overwhelm me, and when the waves seem to be over my head, I'm glad tonight they're still under his feet. He walks on the water. He can calm the storms. And there's nothing too hard for him. And when I need to be lifted up, praise God, he can lead me to that rock that's higher than I. You know something else about that rock? It puts you up there where you can see a little bit better. You know what? The things that this earth offers and the vision that this earth tries to give, and it tries to tell us the way one way that things are, but you want to know something? He can lead us to that rock that'll get us up there on a different platform, and we can see with our spiritual eyes something that we couldn't see except he sets us up on a rock. But he said here, you shelter me. Verse number 3. Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I want you to go with me. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, Psalms chapter 121. You can probably quote it as I can. Don't you turn there. Psalms 121. Talking about protection. Psalmist is once again, he's going there back to Jerusalem from being in captivity and all that protection still needs as he heads that way. But look at Psalms chapter 121. The Bible says, he says here, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Look at verse number 4. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall not neither sleep nor slumber. Now verse 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. Watch it. The Lord is thy shade. He covers me. He shelters me. He says, upon thy right hand, the sun shall not smite thee day by day, nor the moon by night. But the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. So listen, friend, think of all that you and I have in Christ Jesus above everything else, and among everything else, the Bible says that he shelters us as his hides us in the cleft of the rock. Well, listen, trouble and trials and none of those things can affect us. Protection. Think of all we have as Christians. Think tonight for a moment what God has given us, and we sung the song, but I want to say this, we didn't sing it right because we sung the song, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we even sung the half has never yet been told, but even just by what has been told and by what we know, you and I ought to be shouting, you and I ought to be praising God, you and I ought to be saying, thank you Jesus for giving me everything I didn't deserve. We have a heritage. He says, thou hast given me the heritage of all those that fear God. What is it? A position. I'm a child of God. Praise God, he set my feet on the rock. We have not only a position, we have a place. And thank God, not only a place, but we have profit. And he's given us, the Bible said, we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have a prayer that's promised that he'll answer. We have a peace. We have a power. We have a protection and so many other things. And I can't help but think about the words of the psalmist when he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Do you understand tonight, really, the only thing, humanly speaking, the only thing that you and I can offer to God really is two things. Worship and obedience. That's it. He didn't need anything else from us. Now everything else falls under those two things. Worship and obedience. That's all we're offering. We could offer him our praise. We could offer him our thanks. And we ought to. Thou hast given me the heritage, the same one. Praise God, guess what? I'm in the same boat, and I'm in the same class, and I'm in the same group as Paul, and Peter, and John, and Nehemiah, and all those great Bible people. And you and I have that same heritage. You and I have been given those same things. What a heritage we have in Christ Jesus. Let's stand for prayer tonight.